February 1st, 2005 was my first Sunday here. And ever since then, I've always been in that second row, last chair. And somebody got me out of there today, Kathy. So I was back there with her. Praise God. Before I start the message, I want to tell you about the case of the snowman wrapping paper. Praise God. Please forgive me, Kathy, but this is it. Probably a week after Thanksgiving, Kathy went out with her friend, Susan Rollins, and she came home. Nick, we found the cutest wrapping paper, the snowman on it, but they only had one left, so I gave it to Susan. I really like that. I'm going to find you that paper. I'm going to find you that paper. So everywhere we went, I mean, I looked through hundreds of wrapping paper and never saw it. So finally, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, we're in TJ Maxx. Trying to remember what TJ stands for. But anyway, we're in TJ Maxx. And they have boxes of wrapping paper. Because I'm going to find that wrapping paper for my girl. I'm going to find that snowman wrapping paper. Never found it. So we're walking out of there. Kathy walks by. Oh, there it is right there. You know, one left, picks it out. So a couple days later, we're riding in the car. I said, Kathy, that's so cool. We finally found that paper. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I gave it to the next door neighbor. She didn't have any wrapping paper. The case of the snowman wrapping paper. Help me, Father. At the end of this message today, I'm going to give you a challenge. Maybe you could call it a dare. Maybe you could call it a suggestion, an invitation. So don't let me forget it, because sometimes I forget things now that I'm getting younger. But today's the last message in a series that we, called Isn't There More to Christmas? How can Jesus meet your greatest needs? And talked about a lot of stuff the last 5 weeks. Our need for contentment, our need for direction, our need for peace, our need for hope. And then last week I talked about, tell me a story about Jesus. Well, today is our need for purpose. Because we most often are asked, and especially when meeting people for the first time, hey, what do you do, man? What do you do for a living? Meaning, what is your profession, or what is your occupation, or, how do you make a living? But what if we were to ask, why do you do what you do? In other words, why were you born? What is your purpose? That's a different question with a different answer altogether. Scores of Americans know what they do, but they don't know why they do what they do. Maybe that's why I'm here today. Many have found success, but maybe not significance. And when we stop long enough and look deep within our souls, the feeling that comes over us is purposelessness. Think about it. Isn't it time that we acknowledge our need for purpose? Isn't it time we settle the why question? Because purpose really is your reason for being. It's your answer to the question, why do I get up in the morning? And having a purpose, really, it provides you direction. It helps you choose where you're going along the route. It provides drive for you in your life. Everyone is driven by something. Their past, think about it, their parents, their peers, their partner. But the life that matters is driven by purpose. For believers in Jesus Christ, your purpose is a God-ordained calling upon your life. Here's the good news. God has a purpose for your life. I want you to turn to your neighbors and say that. God has a purpose for your life. He wants you to live purposely. And you can find your purpose, because that's why I'm here today, because we have a need for purpose, by doing the following. I have 5 points I want to give you today to help you to find your purpose. One is to conduct a spiritual audit by assessing your present. Think about it. Assessing meaning reviewing, evaluate. Something like when we took communion today, I asked you to evaluate yourself or think about, you know, the things where you've fallen short with God and ask Him to forgive you. Assessing might mean to estimate officially the value of. Philippians 3, and I'm going to be in Philippians 3, 12 through 14 today. I'm using the ESV. This is my last Sunday for the ESV, praise God. Subtitle, Straining Toward God, Straining Toward the Goal. Not that I have already obtained this, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, or am already perfect. So when you think about it, before an architect begins a blueprint, he inspects the property site. He assesses the environmental factors that could either enhance or restrict his final design. Before a coach begins rebuilding a losing team into a championship team, and I'm not saying Redskins are losing, because after today they're going to be 8-8, so they're not going to be a losing team this year, praise God. But before a coach, that's like a prophetic statement, before a coach begins the rebuilding of a losing team into a championship team, think about it. He assesses the talent of his players to determine if they are being utilized in the right positions. The Apostle Paul addressed where he was at on his spiritual journey in these verses. The this in that verse, because it says, obtain this or already made perfect. The this is referring to in verse 12 is found really in chapter 3 in verses 7 through 11 in the pursuit of knowing Christ. And I'll stop right here and say, this is my main purpose. This is my main purpose, Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But whatever gained I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Isn't that a great purpose for your life? That you would gain Christ. In verse 9, he says, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. That's purpose. That's something to live for. That's something to get up every day for and think about those verses and live out those verses, because we want to become like Him in His death. And we want to use any means possible to obtain the resurrection from the dead. So when you think about these verses, Paul really hadn't fulfilled his purpose yet. He was in the process, but he had not completed the journey. Paul knew he had more to know. And sometimes I think that's where we need to be in a place. That's what I would call humility. We know we have more to know. You don't always get in life what you expect unless you inspect. Think about it. It'd be a great rap song. You don't always get in your life what you expect unless you inspect. To assess your present is to need to ask the question, who am I? And why am I here? So, one, to find a purpose in your life, you have to conduct a spiritual audit by assessing your present. Number two is determine your purpose. He says in the first part of verse 12 in chapter 2 of Philippians, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Rick Warren, if you probably heard that book years ago, The Purpose-Driven Life, he wrote this, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you are placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. Paul stated His God-ordained purpose, and it was, I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold by Christ Jesus. And really that phrase there, to take hold, means to grasp. Christ had taken hold of Paul. He had infused him with His life, His passion, and His purpose. His motivation was compelling. God got a hold of Paul's life and would not let go. How many people want that today? How many people want Christ to get a hold of their life and don't let go? Because He has everything we need for life and godliness. But God got a hold of Paul's life. He wouldn't let go. Christ grasped every man and every woman for a specific purpose. Think about it. Every man and every woman, therefore, should press on so that they may grasp the purpose of living a life that glorifies and honors God. If you look in your listening guide, that little block there at the bottom on the left side, God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, and a reward for your faithfulness. Trust Him and don't give up. You might be here today struggling with something or having pain about something, but I truly believe God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, a reward for your faithfulness. Trust Him and don't give up. Number three, focus on a single-minded pursuit. This one spoke to me the most. Philippians 2, at the beginning of verse 13, he says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." How many people have you met in your life that have been stuck in the past? Been stuck by something happened to them or something they went through? But he says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what lies ahead. Isn't that a great way to start out 2018? Straining forward to what lies ahead. So Paul said in that verse, one thing I do. Not 40 things that I dabble at. Paul would not allow for distractions. He was single-minded in his pursuit. There's a chapel in Billy Graham Training Center. Kathy and I went there a few years back at the Cove. It's in Asheville, North Carolina. It's a small museum dedicated to the life and ministry of Billy Graham. A framed copy of the Articles of Incorporation of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, sealed on September 17, 1950, I wasn't born yet, in St. Paul, Minnesota, established the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Its statement of purpose reads this, and you can go there and see it on the wall, to spread and propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by any and all means. Think about it. Propagate meaning broadcast or circulate or publicize, or I like the word multiply. That has been Billy Graham's one thing. He has focused his life in a single-minded pursuit. And you're listening, God, I put the key to purposeful living is discovering your one thing and then pursuing it with a single-minded devotion. Too many of us are involved in many things when the secret of purpose is to concentrate on one thing. And I thought about our purpose statement here, our vision statement for this church really is one thing, is to love God. Love God, and we feel like out of that, when we learn to love God and surrender our lives to Him, then we'll learn how to love others. Then we'll learn how to live a missional life so that we can make a difference for Him. C.S. Lewis said this in his book, Mere Christianity. I love this statement. It is so easy to think that the church has a lot of different objects: education, building, missions, holding services. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ. to make them little Christ. If they're not doing that, all the cathedrals, all the clergy, all the missions, all the sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful, you know, C.S. Lewis wrote, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. Think about it. Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. John 18:37, he came to share the truth and talk about the truth with us. So a quick review right now for finding your purpose. 1, conduct a spiritual audit by assessing your present. 2, determine your purpose in life. 3, focus on a single-minded pursuit. 4, forget the past. He says it in the last part of verse 13 in Philippians 2. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. The second time I'm reading this, because there's a reason. People have struggles with this. People have struggles forgiving and forgetting and moving on and straining towards what lies ahead. And if you think about Paul's life, if you study Paul's life, if there was anyone who had a past that would have prevented him from living for God, it was Paul. Paul participated in killing of Christians and opposing the work of God's kingdom. But he did not allow the past to stop him, though. He had broken the power of the past. He could not change the past, but he could change the meaning of the past. He would not allow any past experience to hinder his efforts in the present or in the future. Think about it. The other box that's in your listening guide there on the right side. Forget what hurt you in the past, but never forget what it taught you. Isn't that beautiful? Anybody here ever seen the movie Lion King? Years ago, there was a guy in there named Pumbaa. And he made this statement, you got to put your past behind you. So easily said, but how many times is that a struggle for us? So I would say, ask yourself right now on the last day of 2017, what from my past is preventing me from reaching my purpose? Think about it. What from my past is preventing me from reaching my purpose? And I came here to tell you today, if it's a sin, ask God to forgive you. Because he not only forgives, he forgets. If it's a mistake, learn from it and then proceed on. God is a God of grace. Open the gift of grace and move on in spite of your past. The last point, pay the price. Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I've already obtained this or already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The last time the elders got together, I shared these two statements with them, and I want to share it with you right now. For every worthwhile prize in life, there's a price. For every cause, there's a cost. Great purposes require great sacrifice. Consider what yours will cost and don't look back. When you think about Paul and you read about his life, he made every effort and pursued his purpose. The verbs Paul employed in his writings are graphic words, really from an arena. They depict the body of a racer, bent forward, hands outstretched towards the goal, straining to win. Paul knew a cost was involved to living a life that resembled Christ, but the cost was worth more than the cause. The pursuit was the prize. Are you looking to find purpose in 2018? I'm going to ask you again. Are you looking to find purpose in 2018? You can find your purpose by doing the following. and I'll review it. Conduct a spiritual audit by assessing your present. Determine your purpose. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. Focus on a single-minded pursuit. Paul said, one thing I do, not 40 things I dabble at. Paul would not allow for distractions. He was single-minded in pursuit. Number four, forget the past. It's going to be the hardest for a lot of people. Forget the past. Ask yourself, what from my past is preventing me from reaching my purpose? Pay the price. Not that I've already obtained this or am already made perfect. I'm telling you, if the Lord lets me live as long as Billy Graham, and I think if Billy Graham walked in here today, I can't even remember how old he is now, 96, 97, I don't know. He would probably say the same thing. Not that I've already obtained this or I've already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining on towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. If the band wants to come forward and the ushers. For every worthwhile prize in life, there's a price. For every cause, there's a cost. Great purposes require great sacrifice. Consider what yours will cost and don't look back. I'm going to pray now. We're going to take an offering. We're going to open this altar up. Maybe people want to pray. Maybe you don't know your purpose in life. Maybe you're in high school and you haven't figured out, God, what do you want me to do in my school? What do you want me to do in my middle school? What do you want me to do in my job? My purpose is to give you the glory, Lord. So, Father, I lift this time up to you, Father, this altar time, this time where we take our offering, Father. Father, I pray a blessing upon all of us, Lord, for 2018. Father, I pray that we can look back in 2017 with a grateful heart and a contented heart, knowing that, A, maybe I've fallen short many times, but I know I can go to God and He'll forgive me. I know if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Father, this is like the time where I long for every week, Father, where we can just worship You and sink in and listen to the Holy Spirit. Take the words from today, from Philippians 2, 12 through 14, and just make them come alive for us, Father. Make them come alive. Father, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to share Your word. I thank You for being able to partner with my wife and come here and just love on people and share Your truth, Father, and live out Your truth. And Father, I pray that would each of us look for our purpose for 2018. Maybe there's a ministry here that the Holy Spirit has been edging you on to get involved in. Maybe it's a youth ministry or the children's ministry or the nursery or the toddlers or, Father, with just any. There's so many places where we can serve in Your church, Father, because this is Your place. So, Father, I pray for this altar time. I pray for our offering. I pray for the music and the worship. I'm thankful for all these musicians here, Lord. I just give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You.